Welcome to The Uncensored Pharmacist, where we're rewriting the prescription for health, one candid conversation at a time.
Join us as we delve into the holistic world of well-being, covering everything from the latest pharmacy insights to navigating health regulations and championing patient advocacy.
From in-depth discussions with experts to tips on navigating the pharmacy aisle, we're here to enlighten, educate, and engage.
So make sure to amplify your health journey by subscribing for weekly holistic health insights. Tune in, turn up the volume, and let's get started.
I'm Miranda.
And I'm Rachel. And we're the Uncensored Pharmacist.
Hey, Rachel.
What is up, girl? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing great. I'm super excited to be doing this again with you, girl. This is just so fun. So.
I know. Me too. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. It currently has no name.
The Uncensored Pharmacist.
My name is Miranda. I am a board certified ambulatory care pharmacist. My background is in clinical pharmacy and retail pharmacy. And now I have my own supplement and coaching and consulting business, and we're just starting our podcast.
Yes, and I'm Dr. Rachel. I have a background. I worked in retail for 10 years, and I've been out of retail for 10 years, and I've had my own health coaching, personal training, supplement coaching business as well for the last like 6 or 7 years. So I love giving people natural solutions to everyday problems. So that's kind of where my heart is at. So yeah, and doing this podcast with you, Miranda, is just like one of those things I've always wanted to do. So thank you for joining.
Yeah. And I love what you said, natural solutions to everyday problems, because we had talked about, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone that's made naturally in our body. But over the years, we've seen it being produced as an over-the-counter supplement that millions of people are taking because insomnia is a huge problem in this country. So tell me, I know in your other social media, you talk a lot about sleep and sleep disorders and alternative therapies for managing sleep. So tell me what your thoughts are on melatonin, because I know that in the health community, in the traditional medical side, as well as in the holistic and functional medicine side, it's kind of controversial.
Yeah, it is. And I'll admit, back in the day when I was when I was a retail pharmacist, it was one of the supplements I thought, yeah, it's good. I mean, what harm could this do? Like, I didn't know. And that's part of the problem, right? Is as pharmacists, a lot of times when we're in that setting, we don't have a lot of time to learn the supplements that are out on the shelves of the store that we're working at because we're so busy. But what I've learned, especially in the last couple of years, is that it's one of the two supplements that I actually, as a pharmacist, would never recommend anybody take. And that's because, like you stated, why take it when you can make it? And it's really, how do we optimize? And it's, again, getting to the root cause of the issue of why does your body not produce the right amount for you to sleep at night? And so I'm not a proponent of melatonin. And that's a very controversial statement, but there's so many things out there that have proven the reason why that's not a good idea. And how about you? Like, what are your thoughts?
I actually have kids. I have twins, and they're going to be 9 next week. And they shared a room for a long time. They shared a room. And so getting them to go to sleep was a challenge. And so I'll admit that for a long time, I used melatonin with my kids, and I used a very, very low dose. When I say very low dose, I mean like 1 milligram, very low dose. And they did pretty well with that. It just worked. It helped us to make bedtime a little bit better. But as I started learning more about melatonin, I felt uncomfortable about giving it to them long term. And of course, we separated them. They're in different rooms now. So we don't have that going back and forth and nobody wanting to go to sleep thing that we had before. But one of the reasons that I stopped giving my kids that even very, very low dose of melatonin is because it caused nightmares. And what I learned when I dug into the research is that with melatonin, and I think you could speak to this as well, our body makes the right amount if our body's working correctly, right? It works and makes the right amount. But when you take the supplement, you might give your body more than it needs. And So when we make the right amount, our body uses what it needs and then it rapidly metabolizes and eliminates that. But what happens with the supplement is that it if the dose is not exactly the right dose, and it usually isn't, then it sticks around longer than it's supposed to. And melatonin really isn't to keep us asleep. It's to help us fall asleep. And so my kids were having nightmares because that melatonin was sticking around in their body. It was actually disrupting the quality of their sleep. So I did do melatonin some when they were younger. And then when I started learning more about it, I was like, I don't really want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. It messes with their normal circadian rhythm. It's like anything that you give hormonally, especially that is not natural to somebody, it really messes. It kind of shuts your body down. It's like, oh, I don't have to make that because they're giving it to me artificially. But it, like you said, it might not be the right quantity. The timing of the release of the melatonin might not be at the right normal time for that sleep cycle to be what it needs to be. And that's where I feel strongly, okay, if you're not getting good sleep, something else at the root cause of that is not allowing your body to sleep. So it's, you know, what I've learned, and I didn't realize this until a couple of years ago, is that serotonin is actually the precursor to melatonin, right?
Right.
And so serotonin 70 to 90, and I think it's even, you know, I think they keep saying it's closer to 90% is made in the gut.
Made in the gut. Yeah. By bacteria.
Right. Who would have ever thought, right?
I know.
So those bugs in your gut actually are really beneficial, and certain strains of bacteria, right, are really good at helping you produce serotonin during the day and helping you get better sleep at night. So I tell people all the time, what you do from the moment you wake up in the morning will affect your sleep at night. It's, yes, there's definitely sleep hygiene, as they state, 2 to 3 hours, you know, before you go to bed. Like, don't be on your computer, your phone, your TV, like turn all the blue lights off, like read a book, like get in a calming state. But also it's like, okay, so what are you doing during the day to optimize your serotonin, right? Are you feeding your body good foods, good supplements? Are you moving your body? You know, vitamin D is very much needed in that whole process. So especially in the wintertime, depending on where you live, we're always deficient in vitamin D, right? That's a whole nother story, but especially in the winter time. So you may even notice, you know, your sleep gets even worse in the winter time because of some deficiencies. So it's, how do we help someone heal their gut, optimize serotonin, and in turn, they're going to make more melatonin at night and get better sleep. It's not about supplementing with the end game hormone. That's the answer. So did you do research on good products? Like, how did you decide on a product? Like, cause there's still going to be people out there that say, I'm going to try melatonin. My doctor told me to, whomever. Like, do you know of some companies that make decent products, or I don't know.
You know, I usually research any kind of supplement company that I work with, that if I buy a product, I'm looking for a product to give my kids or to anybody else in my family. And the things that I look for is it a company that's third-party tested? Like, do they use third-party testing? So we know that what's in there is what's actually on the label. And is it a respectable brand? Is it a brand that I've heard of? Or is it a company that just like popped up 6 months ago? And those are two things that I look at. And supplements, if they're good quality supplements, are not going to be the cheapest supplements most of the time. So I do think that's important to take into consideration. And I do use different supplements, and my kids do as well, but I always research the company. So I want to go back to what you said about serotonin and melatonin. So serotonin is the precursor for melatonin. So serotonin turns into melatonin, and that's signaled by darkness. And that's the reason that if we're on our computer and stuff at night, that we aren't able to make the melatonin that we need. But it's interesting because although we now know that depression is really linked to more than just low serotonin levels, that there are other chemical imbalances that are part of that, two common symptoms of depression, which is associated with low levels of serotonin, is difficulty sleeping and daytime sleepiness. Mm-hmm. So that comes back to the idea that if we have enough serotonin, then we can make enough melatonin, and then we can sleep better, and then we aren't sleepy during the day. That it corrects that circadian rhythm problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like they feed off each other. Because when you think about it, when you don't sleep well, you're probably moodier. You're probably craving foods that like sugar and caffeine. Yeah. And those foods can naturally like make you, it sounds kind of crazy, but angrier, right? Because it's feeding some bad bacteria in your body that's not serving you, instead of eating good foods that help you with that serotonin level. So it's like it feeds, like your energy is low, you're craving bad food, and then you're sleepy during the day. And maybe you're taking naps during the day at weird times when you can. And then you're like, oh, I can't sleep at night because I took that 3-hour nap at, 2 o'clock. So it's just like this natural rhythm. And it does take time. I guess that's the big thing too with people. It's like, even if you're, one of the things I recommend to people that are trying to improve their sleep, I'm like, keep a sleep journal as best you can. Obviously, like if you're waking up a lot during the night, or just kind of document, like, I think, I got 6 hours of sleep last night, or 5 hours, or whatever that starting point is for you. And then even if you're improving your sleep by 10 or 15 minutes, every few days, like that's huge. Think about if you're improving by 10 minutes, even, over a course of a week, like within a month, you're almost going to sleep like 40 minutes longer, almost an hour longer.
Right.
So I think it's just the baby steps, just like any other goal. But then even people that aren't sleeping, they get into other imbalances that are causing, weight gain. And no matter what you do, you can't lose the weight. And people think, oh, I have to starve, so there's this whole cycle. And I personally think like sleep is one of the best things you can focus on, because if you can start to improve the sleep, you're going to be more energetic. You're going to want to exercise or go for that walk outside. You're going to want to eat better foods because you're like, I feel really good. How can I feel even better? So it is a cycle that you get into, but you can break the cycle, but you have to do some things, that will break that cycle. Like, improving your, your food, your supplements, whatever that might look like.
I think it's just one step at a time. And you're right. It is a cycle. It's either a cycle of wellness or a cycle of illness. And obviously, there's going to be little changes, like little kinks that happen. But are we progressing slowly toward wellness, or are we slipping towards illness? And I think it's just taking those little steps toward wellness.
That's such a good visual, I think, for people that are listening. Like, just think about that. Like, are you, you may hear like, are you feeding by what you're eating? Are you feeding disease or health? Like same, just looking at that, like, am I taking a step forward or two steps back? Like, it's okay if you're just taking one step forward every single day. That's beautiful. That's what you should be doing. So that, I love that, Miranda. That's like that's such a good way to look at it.
On my socials, I talk a lot about medications that increase risk for dementia and things that we can do, like lifestyle things that we can do to decrease risk for dementia. And poor sleep is a huge risk factor for dementia, future cognitive decline. And what's even more concerning about that is that if you look at the data, a lot of sleep aids that people use so you already have bad sleep, so you're already at an increased risk for dementia. So you take a sleep aid, and a lot of these sleep aids increase risk for dementia. Now, to my knowledge, melatonin doesn't do that. It doesn't. To my knowledge, melatonin doesn't. But Benadryl is one that diphenhydramine, it's an active ingredient in most over-the-counter sleep aids. And there is incredible data about how it increases risk for dementia. It causes immediate cognitive decline in the elderly. It really, in my opinion, is more dangerous for the elderly than melatonin. I think melatonin, I see it as being more dangerous for children, and I gave it to my children. So, there's that. But I feel very strongly about avoiding Benadryl and those over-the-counter sleep aids for sleep. And so when people ask me, they'll say, well, if you don't think I should do Benadryl, what should I do? Should I do melatonin? And so they want to go back to that. Like, these are the two options that I have over the counter. Which should I use? And like you said, there are all of these things that we can do. And it really does start in the gut. And you don't have to take melatonin by mouth. You can make the melatonin. We just have to target the right bacteria in the GI tract. We've got to make some lifestyle changes. Going to bed at the same time every night, turning those electronics off, making some food changes in food choices, going for a walk, which calms your body and your mind. So all of those are things that we can do, like steps toward better sleep, steps towards better mental health and physical health. But I wanted to mention that with melatonin specifically, I said, you know, and I worry about Benadryl and those products for sleep in the elderly, but with melatonin, I pulled some statistics that I wanted to share. And this is from a 2021 analysis from the Poison Control Centers of America. In 2021, the Poison Control Centers of America received 52,000 calls about melatonin overdose in children. So not necessarily that the calls don't mean that the child needed to be hospitalized or anything like that, but it means that the parent realized that the child had taken too much or that they had given the child too much and they were concerned. So they reached out to the Poison Control Center. That resulted in over 4,000 hospitalizations and 2 deaths of children. And so we sort of think of, oh, melatonin, it's a hormone. Our body makes it anyway. It's no big deal. It's totally safe. But it's not totally safe. We've seen deaths with this supplement. And so my question for you is, what do you think about melatonin? Well, I know that you're not an advocate of melatonin, but do you think that the fact that melatonin is available in a gummy perpetuates that overdose in children?
Yeah, because it probably tastes good, right? And it's like maybe they even are thinking, maybe their parent has even said, this is like a little treat before bed, you know? And so they associate it with, oh, it's just like a little candy. So what's the problem? And so, yeah. And, you know, I think, yes, it's a great, because it gives, you know, a gummy allows you to give it to a younger child, but at the same time, the risk for overdose is increased just because it's, you know, this tastes good. I enjoy it. So yeah, why not? Why not take more is better, right?
Right. I do think that outside of the medical world, that there is a large population of people who do believe that more is better. If a little's good, more is better. But in the pharmacy world, we like to say we want to use the smallest effective dose for the shortest period of time possible, because we know that medications in particular can be really dangerous. And melatonin, I know we think of it, it's not a medication, it's a supplement. But again, if you're going to use it, let's do the smallest effective dose. But there are better alternatives out there to help kids with sleep and to help older people with sleep as well. There were some other statistics that I pulled. I wanted to go over, first of all, some symptoms of melatonin poisoning. So one, obviously drowsiness and fatigue. Obviously. I mean, we're taking it for sleep. If it makes us overly drowsy, then, you know, if your child takes too much, then, you know, there's a healthy level of suppression that allows us, our body to relax and for us to fall asleep. And then there's that overdose part where you can't walk and you have slurred speech and that sort of thing, where it's affecting our entire central nervous system, which can suppress our breathing. So when we suppress our central nervous system too much, we stop breathing or we breathe too slowly to get oxygen throughout our body. Melatonin poisoning can present with headaches, nausea, and vomiting. That nausea and vomiting is our body's way of saying, this is too much. This is hurting me. Get this out of me. It's our body rejecting that. And then mood changes, because remember, I think Rachel talked about how melatonin and serotonin are very closely related to each other. And so we can have mood changes, irritability, anger, outbursts. And then because of that central nervous system suppression, we also can have decreased heart rate and seizures, which can be life-threatening. So melatonin overdose is real and is deadly. And we don't have a lot of deaths, but 2 deaths is too many. 1 death is too many. And especially because these are kids, and these are well-meaning parents. I mean, and there's so much controversy in healthcare right now, but parents are not out there saying, I'm going to give melatonin to my kid because I don't want to deal with my kid. They're wanting to help their child to get a better night's sleep. They want to make bedtime not be stressful, but they really are trying to help. And they don't realize sometimes that they're not helping, that they might be making it worse.
And they've also probably been told by the health, you know, their pediatrician, oh yeah, melatonin is a great option. You know, it's a great thing because, you know, it's a natural product, whatever they tell them. So they're also trust, you know, they're listening to some, a trusted person that's guiding them and thinking, like you said, like they're doing the right thing for their kid will sleep better. They'll be better in school. Maybe that's, you know, they've been acting out or they're having trouble with, you know, their grades or whatever. So it's really, they're really getting to a point where they're like, I want to do this for my child. So my child is better at school and the teacher isn't always, you know, writing notes home or whatever it might be. So yeah, it's well-intentioned for sure.
Subscribe to our podcast for weekly episodes where we'll bring you unfiltered and unbiased information about all things health, from debunking common myths and misconceptions to sharing insider knowledge on pharmaceuticals and the most innovative nutraceuticals and alternative therapies on the planet. We've got you covered.
Well, I want to go back just to talk about, like you talked about the risk factors with not sleeping and dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, as we get older, it's a huge risk factor. And what I tell people too is like our brains when we're sleeping, it's almost like if you take a sponge and the sponge is full of water, that's what your brain does at night. It does its own little cleansing. It squishes out the fluid in the brain and it cleanses itself every night if you're sleeping. And what happens over time when you don't sleep is you get, you know, small amounts of damage or it's not repairing, you know, so you almost, I don't know if you want to say scar tissue in the brain, but it's that, you know, that part of the brain isn't working well or at all. So that's where you get into the whole dementia and Alzheimer's, is that those different centers of the brain, the memory, you know, whatever, the brain fog that you're experiencing now can, you know, metastasize into something much, much greater down the line. And that's not to scare anybody, but it's just one of those things. It's like some people don't think sleep is important. They're just like, you know, whatever. I function. I drink a lot of caffeine. I get through the day. But it is.
I mean, that used to be me. I can tell you, like, at very type A, like, yeah. Things have to be done at a certain time, a certain way. Overachiever, perfectionist, hypervigilant, all of those things. I would not sleep in order to complete tasks.
Yes.
That seemed so important. And then one day I sort of had that wake up that, wait, this is not helping me. It's helping somebody else. And I'm the one that's suffering for it. Not just today, but I'm going to suffer for it in the future. Yes. I think sleep is one of the most important things that we can do to support our mental health, our longevity, and our physical health. Because people don't think about when you're asleep, you're, like you said, I mean, your brain is recovering. It's not just our bodies resting, but our brain is recovering from the whole day.
Yeah. And that, I mean, not to mention like other comorbidities that occur over time. If it's not that, it's maybe diabetes, because it's throwing, you know, when you're not sleeping, you're throwing your blood sugars off, you're craving foods that aren't serving you. It's heart disease. You know, when you're not sleeping, you're inflamed, right? Your brain doesn't recover, your muscles, whatever, you know, that needs recovery that night. So there's so many things that can, you know, no one really talks about the link between sleep and all these, you know, things that can develop as you get older. But, and I think the things that we're talking about today are, I hope we're waking you guys up to thinking, okay, I never really thought about sleep that way, or I never really questioned melatonin for my child. And that's what we aim to do here every episode, is to kind of maybe not tell you how to think or what to choose, but wake you up to thinking like, I might need to look a little deeper into that.
Yeah.
I just trusted everybody else that told me that this was fine.
Yeah. Increasing awareness, I think, is so important. And then the more you know, the more you can advocate for yourself and for your kid, your children. And I think we could do another episode and talk about sleep again, probably do several episodes about sleep. I mean, because I can tell you that I am educated. I am a healthcare professional. I knew how to look things up. And I will tell you this, when it came to me giving my kids melatonin, I would not give them a melatonin gummy from day one. And I'm going to tell you some statistic about melatonin gummies. And then I'm going to tell you, this was before that I already was like, we're not doing a gummy. I'll tell you why. Yeah. So a 2021 study looked at several different brands of gummies, melatonin gummies, and they found that the FDA says they were misbranded. And when we say something's misbranded, it means that what's on the label doesn't match what's actually in the product. That's the reason I said that I only trust products that are third-party tested, because somebody outside of that company has come in and done the test and has said, yes, what's on the bottle matches what's in the product. If it's not third-party tested, then you're just trusting that that company is telling you the truth. And companies are not bad. People are bad. And ultimately, the supplement industry is a money-making industry. The medical industry is a money-making industry. And if the people that are in charge are not ethical, then you don't know if you're getting what you're supposed to be getting. There's not a lot of oversight from the FDA. There would be people that would argue that there's no FDA regulation of supplements. The FDA does regulate supplements. They just regulate them like food, not like medication. But I've had people argue with me about how the FDA regulates medication, and they are very standoffish. The FDA is not in there with your medication, making sure that what's in there is what they say is in there. And they for sure aren't doing that with supplements. And so you really have to do your research. But so at this 2021 study took a bunch of different melatonin gummies, and they analyzed what was actually in the gummy compared to what was on the labeling. And they found that the majority of those did not match. And I don't know where the exact number is here. I had it written down. So the study actually found that 22 out of 25 melatonin gummies that were tested, that what was in the product didn't match what the label said. So 22 out of 25. So the majority of the supplements, the gummies, of melatonin gummies that are on the market don't have the amount of melatonin in there that they say they have in there. Now, first of all, the label is supposed to match. Like, it's supposed to be accurate. You should be able to trust that. But we know, because there are a lot of unethical people out there running these companies, that they don't always match with supplements. But the study showed that some of them had as low as 74% of the dose. So you were getting less than what the label said, but some of them had as much as 347% more than what the label said. So you could be trying to give your child 1 milligram of melatonin and literally be giving them 300 milligrams of melatonin. So, I mean, that's really where the huge concern is. And that's big. That's a big difference. It's not a small difference. It's a huge difference. And it happens with all supplements. It can happen with any unethical company. But I said earlier that when I chose to give my kids melatonin, that I did not go with a gummy. And I'll specifically tell you why. And then most gummies that are on the market are made with gelatin. I'm from the South. We love casseroles. We love our desserts. We love Jell-O salads. If you've ever made a Jell-O salad, where does the fruit go? It sinks to the bottom. Okay. When you create, and as a pharmacist, Rachel, you know, we did compounding. We made gummies. If you make a small batch of gummies, you're right there. You're mixing them. You're mixing that in your pharmacy, and you're pouring those right then. You're mixing as you're pouring. And so you're getting a pretty consistent amount of product in your gummy. But if you're talking about these massive vats of gelatin solution that we're pouring chemical product into, powdered product, and we're mixing it, where's that product going? It's going on the bottom. So some of your gummies are going to be, you know, they're going to have none. And some of your gummies are going to be full. Just like if you make Jell-O salad, your fruit's going to go to the bottom. That's how gelatin works. And so gummies taste great. They're easy to get your kids to take them, but really they are probably the most inconsistent dosage form out there. So when I started giving my kids that low, low dose of melatonin from a reputable company that was third-party tested, I was giving them a dissolvable tablet because they were like 5 at the time. So I never gave them a gummy because I never trusted consistency of gummies. Now, there is a company that you and I work with and that we both love that have come out with a gummy that has pectin. It's made of pectin instead of gelatin. So it doesn't have that same texture where the stuff falls to the bottom. It sort of floats in the gummy. It floats in the liquid. So we don't have that problem of it sinking to the bottom and leading to those inconsistencies in dosing. And I think that really is super innovative and interesting. And we still don't put melatonin in it, but we use this gummy and we put some things in it that help with sleep and help our body to create the melatonin that we need naturally. Can you speak to that? Because I think it's so interesting that, you know, as we learn things and as science progresses, because science is fluid, I would never have recommended a gummy before because of the gelatin effect, because of the Jell-O salad. I would never have recommended a gummy. But with pectin is like jelly.
Yeah.
It's like jelly. It's a very different type of texture. Like they're distributed evenly. Like when you make jelly, I'm so Southern, y'all. I'm so Southern. Like, have y'all ever made jelly?
Jell-O salad's up here too.
So when you make jelly though, I mean, your jelly is consistent. You are not going to go and get jelly and there be fruit on the bottom and no fruit on the top. It's consistent. So when you do a pectin based gummy, you get consistency throughout the gummy as opposed to the gelatin based gummy. So I won't interrupt you again. So tell me about this gummy because I think it's super cool.
I love you. Well, and it's so funny because as I'm listening to you talk, I'm like, you know what? I never really thought too much about that whole thing. And yeah, the gummy that we have, like, I love it. It tastes good. And I say y'all, even though I'm not Southern, I love it because I have family in Texas and they always love it. But even that, like, it doesn't stick to your teeth. Like, it just, gelatin has a stickiness to it too. So yeah, so it's a product that helps your kid, and kids of all ages can take it. So I'm just telling you all that that's just the way it is. But it creates this calmness, but it's a natural, it's melatonin free. It uses an ingredient that's very much like what you get in your Thanksgiving turkey every year, that tryptophan that helps, you know, how you feel after that Thanksgiving dinner.
You just want to lay on the couch and take a nap while you're watching football, right?
Yeah. So there's this, and it on the label it says 5-HTP, but it's tryptophan, which also is related to serotonin and all the things, but it helps your body naturally with its serotonin levels, as well as in turn the melatonin levels. So it supports that conversion between serotonin and melatonin. And so it also has things in it like zinc that helps relaxation, things like vitamin D3 that adds to the calmness, magnesium. You'll hear a lot of people talk about magnesium for sleep. So it's all these different ingredients, nutrition. You know, I look at our supplements as nutrition for our body because we're giving our body things that it needs that no matter how much foods you might be eating during the day, you're not going to get the exact amount you need. And there's just, I don't want to say weird things, but there's just things that, you know, you're not eating high tryptophan foods every single day, but you have that feeling, that association, like you think about Thanksgiving every time you think of tryptophan because you think of turkey. But what if you could get that calmness and that just from taking something that gives that to you naturally? So, I mean, it allows your body to naturally make melatonin versus, you know, giving yourself synthetic chemical based. And like you just went through, you don't even know if you're actually getting the amount. You may be getting nothing. You may be getting half. You may be getting 3 to 10 to 300 times what you should be getting.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. So when you use the supplement, you're giving your body the nutrients that it needs. So your body can make the amount it needs.
Yeah. And you're doing using like vitamin, there's vitamin C, different vitamin Bs help you as well with the whole sleep process converting to melatonin. So it's not just a one trick pony, but you're supporting your body nutritionally with things that your body naturally, I mean, vitamin, I think so many people don't get enough different. There's so many different vitamin Bs, B as in boy. And the beautiful thing with vitamin B is that it's water soluble. So there's no risk of, oh, I'm going to take too much. It's going to become toxic. It's you get rid of it.
Right.
So why not give yourself something that probably needs for immune health as well, especially this time of year, but it's something that your body naturally needs and you're not giving your body something that it doesn't, if that makes sense.
So we literally are taking a supplement that fills nutritional gaps. So we're not going to eat turkey 30 minutes for bed every night in order to go to sleep. We're not. I mean, I'm not. But you could take a supplement like this gummy. And then there's also a comparable supplement that's available in a capsule.
Yes. Yeah.
It has many of the same ingredients in there that works the same way for adults who don't want to do a gummy. I like the gummy. I love the texture of it, the mouthfeel. It doesn't stick to your teeth. I love that it's a pectin based instead of a gelatin based, and you know you're getting what you get, and it's third party tested. My daughter loves it. So this is what my daughter uses. My son, on the other hand, doesn't love a gummy. So he actually uses the capsule. Yeah. And they're going to be nine. So it's not, like you said, I'm not worried about them getting too much because the body's going to use what it needs and then it's going to eliminate the rest. Unlike with the melatonin, where if we had a night where maybe our dose was too big, they had nightmares. And let me tell you, they were not, I was giving them this very low dose of melatonin to help them sleep. And like you said, early on, it actually was messing up their circadian rhythm. They weren't sleeping through the night. They were having a nightmare and coming and getting in my bed. And let me tell you, then I wasn't sleeping. And my husband wasn't sleeping and nobody was sleeping. And so since we've started doing the calm gummies and the sleep supplement, sleep capsule that helps our body to make melatonin, we're sleeping through the night. Everybody's sleeping in their own bed. And it's just been really, it's been much better for us.
And that translates to better school mornings, like getting them ready for school. They're happier, you're happier, your husband's happier. Like it just is such a good positive thing for the entire family.
So let me ask you this about a supplement like this that has the tryptophan in it, that has these other nutrients in there that support the production of melatonin and serotonin. If we take it before bed, we get that signal to make melatonin naturally when we're in the dark. So we still want to have our sleep hygiene. What would happen if we took it in the daytime? Would it still make us sleepy?
It could. Couple things. And this is a great question because I actually tested this out. You can take it. So for some people, it depends on how your body metabolizes things, how like soon you need to take it before bed. But I have taken it during the day. Now I've tested it two different ways. I've taken it on a day that's cloudy and I've tested it on a day that's sunny. And I was tired on the day that it was cloudy, but I was energized on the day that it was sunny. So what I actually did, I walked my dog every day. I took it right before I went outside to take him for a walk both days. And I didn't wear my sunglasses on the sunny day. So actually getting a little bit of sun and letting your eyes, you know, not looking right directly at the sun, but allowing your eyes to make that vitamin D, like I mentioned earlier, vitamin D really helps with that serotonin. It was very helpful on that sunny day. So it can be used strategically. Like if you know that you're going to have a sunny day and you want to test it out, it helps you and you feel happier because you're making serotonin.
So you're boosting. Yeah. You're boosting serotonin production. Yeah. So I think that's really interesting because our body needs the same nutrients to make serotonin as it needs to make melatonin. But then it really does come down to, can your body make it? And I think so many people are taking a supplement for sleep because their body can't make it, even if they have the right nutrients, because a lot of them, they don't have really good gut health. And so we can talk more about gut health and how we can support the gut in order to really get the most out of our food. And we don't, in America, we don't eat a really healthy diet just in general. But if we don't have a healthy GI tract, we're having a hard time digesting foods, we're having a hard time extracting the good things from our foods. And then what happens to those? So it's not like our body just pulls the magnesium and the potassium and the iron or whatever from our food and then just shoves it into our bloodstream and it just goes and does a thing. Like there are chemical processes that take place where it takes those nutrients from our food. And it creates these new forms, these new molecules, these new ingredients that go and do different things in the body. And so it's a really, really complex process, but it really starts with, are we giving our body the right nutrients? And can our body pull those nutrients out and use those effectively? So we're talking about giving our body the right nutrients, but we've got to do the other things too, to help our body to extract and use those appropriately.
That's such a good lead in, right? We both talk about gut health quite a bit.
Yeah.
And in my humble opinion, that's where it all starts and ends. Like if your gut's in a good place, if your microbiome, which we'll get into this is really a great lead in to a future podcast. But you know, if we have the good bugs, like not all bacteria is bad, everybody.
Right.
There is good. And if we have the good in our guts, it is able to communicate with our brain. And, you know, they're communicating all of the time. And if there's, I think you use the term like a kink, right? A kink in the armor.
Right.
They're not communicating. And so, but our gut, I mean, for me, I used to think, oh, all the chemicals that we need are in our brain. Like our gut makes some, but it's to learn that actually our gut makes the majority of it and then allows it to go on like a railroad track, right? From our gut to our brain. That's how I visualize it.
Yeah.
And that they're leaks or not good conductors, if you will. It's not going to matter what you put in your body because it's not going to be used as efficiently as it could be. So
right. I think we could talk for hours just about that.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So I think it's probably a good stopping place. That's probably a good stopping place. And we could talk about that another time.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. No, it's a great lead into a future. Stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah. Stay tuned. More about gut health, more about sleep, different things that we can do to support our sleep. What medications we should avoid, what sleep medications we should avoid that can increase risk for dementia and cognitive decline. And that's really, we have a lot of things in store for you coming up. And we would love to hear from you as well and find out what things you want to hear about from us because we totally geek out over the science and we love sharing some alternative therapies with you. And then also talking about conventional Western medicine and how we can combine this conventional Western medicine with traditional Chinese medicine and the gut microbiome and really get you feeling your very best.
Absolutely. Miranda, just to close out, share your socials. Where do we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Dr. Miranda Herring or on Facebook at Miranda Herring.
Okay. And for me, it's TikTok and Instagram, Dr. Rachel Gregg. And on Facebook, Rachel Gregg, because I think we went over, we can't have doctor on Facebook. So, but yeah, find us there. Find us back here. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. See you next time.
Subscribe to our newsletter and join our community. We are dedicated to empowering individuals with the most up-to-date information on healthcare, wellness, and patient advocacy.
Plus, as part of our community, you'll have access to exclusive content, expert Q&A sessions, and special promotions.
Ready to take charge of your health? Join the movement for a healthier, more informed you by following us on social media. We're here to give you the raw, uncut truth on healthcare and wellness, and we can't wait to have you join us on our journey. Tune in, subscribe, and let's start revolutionizing the way we think about health together.
See you next week for another episode of The Uncensored Pharmacist. Until then, stay healthy, informed, and uncensored.
I think that was good.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.